It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country. Barry coming in, do we know?
Barry might not make it today because he was a judge at the Sonoma County Harvest Fair.
Oh, aren't you?
I was, but I hightailed it over here.
Oh, what a guy, what a guy.
But you got me.
Yeah, you're not a judge.
Oh, no, I've been a judge.
Not at the
I'm
wine
judging,
thing.
Though. Oh, when I drink, I'm judgy.
I'm a judge.
Can I read what your wife texted you?
Yeah, please do.
oh, God. Josh, I said, Josh is going to be drinking, and the rest of us are going to be tasting wine here on California Wine Country. And then he said, "Why do I sound like a lush?" And I said, "Well, you're in the right room." And his wife said, "No, you said, do I sound like an alcoholic?" And I said, "Well, you're in the right room." And she texted you, "You lush, laugh out loud, right room cracked me up." Hello, my dear. Haven't seen you in a while. Glad you're listening. Dan Berger, my co-host on California Wine Country, is here. And our guest, besides Josh Silvers, super chef from Jackson's Bar and Oven, our guest is... longtime guy who worked at Rodney Strong and now has the Larson Project. He is Robert Larson, Drive Hall of Famer. We have everyone in this room is a Drive Hall of Famer except me and Mike because...
What about me?
I said everyone in this room. You're a Drive Hall of Famer.
I am? I was never in
there. Oh, it probably happened while you were sleeping. you didn't even know it. Mike went into your bedroom and said,
oh,
Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer.
Wow.
Yeah. So enjoy that. Well,
I'm glad mine was on the radio.
Yeah, yours was. Yeah.
Likewise. I'm glad mine was on the radio. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for that, Mike.
Good. Okay. So the Larson Project, which I'll never understand why there's a K, P-R-O-J-E-K-T, and I gave you some grief about that last time you were in, and still, I mean, it's a standout kind of thing. It's cool, but don't you get people...
I guess you all the time, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I sure do.
I guess if you put in the Larson Project with a C...
That'd be so normal,
but
wouldn't it?
Nobody would ask about it.
This would come
I
up.
Like
yeah,
the
no.
K. It's a great package.
I think it's cool, too.
So my wife designed the package. She also came up with the name.
I like it.
We agreed that Project was a cool name.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently told her that I'm going to change the company name, if I ever have a company again, to the Larson Resort. Because I've got enough projects. I'm putting in hardwood floors and windows and doors in the house, and I got clients, and I got this wine thing. It's enough already.
At your place.
Yeah, I could just hang a hammock.
Boy, you must be doing good.
Call it a resort and be done.
You must be doing good.
I'm doing all the work myself, Steve.
Oh, well, that I can't relate to.
Yeah, me neither.
So K in project. There was a woman in the Northeast who had a cartoon company, if you will, pretty cool art, actually, called the Larson Project. So we thought, well, gosh, we don't want to compete with that, though we wouldn't, really, in hindsight.
So
and
you
she
threw
said,
the K
Let's
in.
Let's keep it alive and throw a K in, because that's the Danish spelling of project, and you're Danish.
Oh, cool.
So I'm Danish, and I'm a project.
Oh, well, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Here we go.
All right, I like it.
Can I just tell you, I'm
no.
such a bad speller, I didn't know that it was wrong. I'm just kidding.
That was great.
Ouch. Okay, so explain overall, before we get into the wine area of the Larson Project,
sure.
what it is you're doing.
So I left Rodney Strong in 2015. I started my own marketing communications agency of one. That'd be me, the person sitting here. And I represent winery clients doing PR, social media, a little bit of wine education.
But it's not just winery projects, is it?
Well, I thought. Yeah.
Aren't you doing something with the film festival, the Mill Valley, or was
no?
No.
No, that was the last person you had in.
Yeah. Well, we talked to them the other day
incorrectly.
And we're hoping to get Holly Hunter, who's being honored this year at the Mill Valley Film Festival. Okay.
Cool.
I'm sorry.
Well,
ahead.
Can I be invited for that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'll bring in some wine.
You're a Drive Hall of Famer. You can pop in anytime.
Anytime. And then one of the reasons I left Rodney Strong was because I wanted to start my own wine brand. And I told Laura, my wife, that I was going to do so. And she's like, right on. I thought I'd get maybe a ton and have 50 cases and I'd be off to the races. So, as is the case in the wine business, Dan can certainly attest to this, and I know Josh can too. We know a lot of people, so you know a lot of chefs. I know a lot of people in the wine business. I throw out, hey, I didn't get quite a ton. I need some topping wine to just fill the barrel. And Eric up at Kokomo says, yeah, I've got some topping wine for you. And I've got some rosé, and I've got a lot of Grenache from Redwood Valley. Why don't we put the blend together and see what we come up with? And I said, okay. Meanwhile, Anna Keller at Keller Estate says, I've got some Syrah you could add to your Grenache. It'd be great. Nice little Rhone blend. I said, well, okay. How much of that have you got? So we chatted, and we came up together with a nice little blend on the red Grenache, which we'll taste in a little while. But all credit on the rosé goes to Eric for this vintage, the 2016. And as everybody knows, we're in harvest right now, so I'm out going at it on my own right now with a custom crush facility, and I'm sourcing the grapes from a great guy up in Dry Creek Valley, Mike Saini, Saini Vineyard. And I wanted to bring in a bottle of his stuff, but I couldn't get up there, and because of harvest, he couldn't get down here to get it to me, so...
But as Robert was saying, you know, hey, he knows so many people in the wine world and gets a hold of folks, and they say, hey, I've got some stuff for you that you could use, you know, you need a little more. How many times in your career has another restaurateur and super chef have you called up and said, I need more meat?
Oh, so many times.
And they show up?
It started
out. They take care of
you? Yeah, oh, God, yeah. It's such a great community. It started out with, do you remember Michael and Lori Darling from Cafe Lolo?
I do remember Cafe Lolo.
So Cafe Lolo, when we opened Syrah back in 99, they were the most generous, amazing people and said, whatever you need, just let us know. And they were so generous with us that's how we became. Because we're like, oh, well, that's how we should be in this community.
Oh, cool.
So when people ask us, we're always, okay. Mark Stark is all, he saved me.
Sure.
Doug Keene saved me. A lot of times with Foif, with Doug Keene.
Yeah, Doug, my Detroit brother, was quoted in that Sonoma Magazine article about the goose and duck liver.
Mm-hmm.
He's very upset about the rebanning, as you are.
He and I were on the same... like opening chef's committee against it and all.
Right.
Yeah.
Dan Berger.
This is delicious, though.
Yeah, let's talk.
That?
Before we talk about this rosé, Dan, talk about Robert and what he's doing, and then we'll let him have a little more airtime to talk about how he's doing.
He's going to get a swelled head when I talk. Robert's bright. He's really smart. He's got a lot of people involved they start out with a wine project. They hire somebody like Robert. He brings them some credibility because a lot of people have stories to tell. They don't see it. Robert's job is to find those stories and then turn them into stories that those of us who write about wine can really make some sense out of. And Robert is one of those rare individuals who has this ability. There are a handful of them in the industry, but not very many. There are a lot of public relations companies out there. I deal with them all the time, a lot of them from New York and Chicago, and they've been hired because they charge outrageous amounts, and the companies, the large international companies, think that because they're paying a ton of money that these people are productive. They're not productive. They don't know anything about wine at all. Robert knows wine. He's been involved in it. His office had the smell of grapes when he was with Rodney Strong. So he knows this business.
It still does.
Were you bathing in grapes?
At every opportunity, yes, I was.
Well, Robert
and
Larson.
My billable just went up, by the way.
Explain the.
Thank you, Dan.
Explain the wines you've brought in from the Larson Project. Now,
sure.
What's it called again? You're involved heavily, but you're not...
He's been having the wines custom crushed.
Custom crushed.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I'm talking about.
So I'm on vintage one, I was a bit of a negociant, sort of. I went up and tasted through the barrels with Eric, a buddy of mine, Craig Strelo, who I'll mention in a little while, on a project that he's working on with another buddy that we started out as home winemakers. So we went up and tasted, and we identified the rosés that we liked, and... It was like in the olden days. Eric and I shook hands, and off to the races we went with the rosé. The Grenache was, I got a ton, a little less than a ton, from Peter Mathis. Great grower.
Oh, he's
great,
a terrific guy maker. Down in Sonoma Valley, and makes some of the best Grenache in the county.
Yeah, and he makes a rosé as well. So he didn't have enough from the 16 harvest to give me a full ton, so that's why I was looking for the topping wine. And I talked with Eric and Anna Keller about that. We'll taste wines from Kokomo and Keller Estate. And then we'll taste mine, and we'll just have a good old time.
The one interesting thing, Steve, is that when you are a négociant, as Robert is, or négociant éleveur, which is to elevate, raise it up, is that there
I'm
are
impressed.
Various, there are various ways of doing this. There are a handful of ways of doing this, one of which is to go into the bulk market to pay a broker for samples of the stuff that's out there that is in the bulk market, and then to go through those samples and see how they work together. And you do blending sessions, and you try to figure out whether these flavors are compatible. Well, what Robert is doing is going, he's cutting out one of the middlemen, and he's doing all the work himself by driving to these various properties and tasting on site and not knowing precisely what these aromatics are going to work, but trusting the winemakers he's working with. And he's chosen really good winemakers, and that's the secret.
Yeah, and the Syrah from Keller Estate is just amazing. It's down in the Petaluma Gap. It's a cooler climate down there.
And there may be only, you know, 30 or 40 gallons of this stuff, but there's not enough to, for them to bottle and make use of, but he gets an access
to it. Okay.
So, yeah, brilliant stuff.
How long is this custom crush thing? And we've heard about it for years on this segment, but is it a relatively new thing, or has it been going on
It's been around
for a
long time. Okay. I was up at Papa Pietro Peri the other day. They're coming into the studio in a few weeks. Papa Pietro Peri making some of the most interesting, if not fascinating, Pinot Noirs in the county. Mm-hmm. And they are lending out part of their winery, not as a négociant, not as a custom crush, just because they've got some space and the neighbor needs to have storage. So they've got this opportunity to be a partner with them. They're not taking any money for this. This is like a joint venture.
Sure.
And then when they need something, like Josh said, when you need something, you get it. When they need something, you give it to them. It's all sharing.
I love it.
Great, great business to be in.
I mean, I was it was about bottling time, and we figured out where to bottle. And you know, I looked up a custom bottling line that would drive in a large truck, and it was basically you just open the back of the truck and voila, there's a bottling line.
Those are pretty amazing. I
didn't think. Work yeah, out. Yeah, they are totally amazing. Yeah. But right next door to Kokomo is Peterson Winery, and they've got a fully functioning bottling line. So I talked to Jamie Peterson, the winemaker there, and
wow,
boom, next thing you know, I take my dog for a walk two blocks from my house, and there's Jamie Peterson, my neighbor. I didn't even know he lived in the hood.
Wow. Very
cool.
But
it's the community that we live in. It's fun. It's invigorating. And it's really rewarding.
And it's so Sonoma. I have to say, like, us moving here to Sonoma County and just, like, getting that experience with Lolo and then just us doing that. And it's the same thing. It's a small – it's that small community feeling that makes living in this county so amazing.
Dan, talk about this Grenache Rosé, the Larson Project. This is from Eric?
It is, and it comes from Redwood Valley and a little bit of Dry Creek Valley, so thus the Appalachian North Coast. And
we've all said, thumbs up, this is really good, Dan.
Yeah, well, this is a legitimate rosé. It was made specifically to be a rosé. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't made from a red wine fermentation where they bled something off the tank. This was really a very carefully made project. And you can tell because the alcohol is not real high. So what's your alcohol in there?
Higher than you'd think.
Probably higher than I think.
14.1.
14.1, but still.
Well, that is. You know, isn't that high for a rosé?
Well, slightly, but not really very high. Because, you know, if this were made as a Sanier project, like the bleeding off that the French do occasionally, well, you'd have 14.9, 14.8 alcohol, and that would impact the mid-palate and the aftertaste. Here the wine is delicate, got good acidity, nice aromatics, beautiful aromatics. I think as time goes by, you're going to notice what you need to do to make this even more aromatic and more mm-hmm. vibrant. Mm-hmm. But as it is, it's gorgeous wine.
Yeah, thank
it's
you.
Really stunning. Now, Eric does a great job.
Is Grenache used more than Pinot for rosés these days?
These days, we're seeing a lot of Pinot Noir rosés because we got a lot of Pinot Noir to deal with.
Well, that's
we're
here in Sonoma County.
Grenache itself is really tricky because it needs to be pretty ripe in order to get it to where there's enough flavor. And if you get it too ripe, then the alcohol does jump on you. Grenache is wonderful for rosé because it has that really maraschino cherry character. Mm-hmm. And if you can get that, if you can capture that, that's really where the wine is.
The finish on this is beyond belief. That cherry character stays with me.
Really, really gorgeous. But what I think is going to be a surprise to most people is this wine a year from now. Now, most people don't age rosé. Trust me.
True. Dan, I call him Dan Lay It Down Burger.
But this wine's really got a future ahead of it. It's a really gorgeous wine.
And it's not just a porch sipper.
No.
It's a nice food wine.
Yeah, super chef.
Yeah,
What would you eat with this?
I want like a big raw shellfish platter right now. The big, you know, the prawns, the oysters, the clams, the crab.
The secret is no sugar in this wine. Yeah.
Why didn't you bring that?
I brought you craft it.
The funny thing about this is that Laura and I were chatting about it because we're making our own tasting notes now, and we came up with words that really don't apply at all, like seductive or sassy. But one word, because we were on S's, that did come up that rings true to me is salty. And there's a salinity in this wine that I think would be really good with shellfish.
Yeah, with shellfish. I remember I did this panel, tasting panel, and it was all high-end Russian River Pinots. At a winery, and it was one of theirs, plus, you know, all brown bag. And it was five or six winemakers, me and another chef. And, we all did our rankings, how did we like the wine. And my top ones and the other chef's top ones, ours were very similar, and we were the exact opposite of all the winemakers. And
interesting.
And what it really is, I mean, I felt was that the winemakers taste wine and they look for the flaws and they look at the wine. Like, they seriously look at the wine. And the other chef and I think about it as a food product. Like, we're tasting wine as wine, not as picking out all the bits that are wrong or right with it.
We're talking about food.
Yeah, and we're thinking, well, what are we going to eat with? Like, this would go better than that with food, so that's what I like.
Yeah, makes sense. We got to take our break. Our guest today on California Wine Country is Robert Larson from the Larson Project with a K, and Josh Silvers, super chef from Jackson's Bar and Oven. And we have a room full of four Drive Hall of Famers. Mike and I aren't eligible. Who said that? That must have been me.
You just said that.
Yeah. I don't know why. Yes, you are. I'm not sure why we're not eligible. Anyway,
and why was Mike in your room?
Dan Berger, my co-host, Robert Larson, and Josh Silvers from Jackson's Bar and Oven. Today, Robert Larson is in, and he is with now the Larson Project as a marketer and PR guy and all the stuff he does for some great wineries after many years at Rodney Strong. Super chef Josh Silvers is with us from Jackson's Bar and Oven. We were talking about goose and duck liver earlier, and he's sticking around to join us for California Wine Country. And of course,
I'm tasting.
You're drinking.
Oh, you're tasting.
I'm tasting.
You're drinking. We're tasting.
All right.
And of course, my co-host Dan Berger. Talk about this is a Pinot, right, Robert?
It is. So some of the wines that I brought are folks that I'm working with currently, and in this case have worked with in the past, because my buddy Alan Campbell and Craig Strelo and I and several others, you know, Matt DiMiola and a weird guy named Josh, who we kicked out of the club, and a few others, they're still in the club. Used to be home winemakers. These guys graduated, and they're pros. Alan's got a beautiful little vineyard out in Grayton, and Craig is the winemaker, and this is a fantastic Pinot from the Green Valley of Russian River Valley, Grayton wine.
Your thoughts? If it's not up to snuff for you, you can just recuse yourself.
No, I don't like recusing myself on good Pinot Noir. This is a really nice Pinot Noir.
Okay,
this is a 2014. It comes from Green Valley. Green Valley is a segment of Russian River Valley, but it's a little bit cooler than most. And as a result, and this is a pretty relatively warm vintage, this 14, so they're fairly concentrated wines. The nice thing about this is that it's got some beautiful aromatics in terms of the plump, ripe black cherry, a little bit of almost a cranberry note in the aftertaste. What I like about it is the fact that it's a little restrained, so therefore you – and pardon me for saying this, but it needs about 2 years in the bottle. But,
of course.
You know, if you put this down, it'll really expand. You could probably get a little bit of that by right now by buying it, opening it, and putting it in the decanter for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Because it really needs a little bit of air. It's right now, it's tied up a little bit, but beautiful aromatics and lovely aftertaste. And it would really go great with something like King Salmon that's been char-grilled, because you really need a little bit of that oiliness from the fish, but you don't want to use too much. If you serve this wine with beef, the beef would tend to overpower some of the delicacy.
I can see that, yeah. And the cranberry you mentioned, man, I'm tasting that big time on the finish.
Yeah, it's gorgeous wine.
Josh, what would you pair it with?
I get candied violet from it a little bit.
That's exactly what it's supposed to have.
Yeah, I get candied violet.
I have no idea what that is.
I love the name. You tell them in the it translates to big pig.
Magna porcum.
Magnum porcum. And honestly, I think the salmon would be fantastic, but I think you can go some pork with this.
You could.
Really?
Yeah, you could.
I think pork and Pinot is a delicious pairing, and since it's called Big Pig, me being a simpleton, I would serve some big pork with it, like some braised pork.
All right.
We got new wine, Steve.
Okay. Talk about it. Robert?
Okay, I'm on. So we just poured the Kokomo GSM, so Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre blend, and I wanted to bring Kokomo because they're the guys that made my wine, most of my wine, from the 2016 vintage. And really, I asked Eric for a bottle of Grenache, and he balked. Sorry, Eric, I'm throwing you squarely in front of the bus, because you enjoyed a bottle of the Grenache last week with he and Carissa Cruz, I think.
That's right. He was in last week.
So he's like, hey, take him the GSM.
So GSM is Grenache, Syrah, and
Mourvèdre.
Dan,
so Vedra is this unique grape variety.
This is a blend that's fairly common now, but about 15 years ago, we first started seeing it coming out of Australia. And the Australians know how to do this blend really well. They try to keep the Mourvèdre down to a smaller percentage. This was about a third and a third and a third, which is a good idea for Sonoma County because we have some really wonderful fruit. This wine has a little bit more of the pomegranate aromatic, and it's relatively dense, but it's not as dense as a Syrah on its own would be. So this wine has a little bit more of that personality of the cranberry aromatics, and then it's got a little teeny bit of that sort of wild raspberry kind of fruit that you occasionally get from Grenache. This is a beautiful wine, probably needs about 2 hours in a decanter because it's tied up a little bit right now, and the aromatics are not quite coming out of it.
What's the year on this?
13.
Wow, 13.
It still needs a little bit of...
Josh. I have the label right in front of me. Yeah.
Well, you said you needed labels. I put it there.
I know. Well, thank you.
You know, for me, the GSM, you got to go some lamb.
Good call.
I agree with
good
that.
Good call. Yep.
Lamb.
Yeah.
Even
small
mutton.
I will drink Chardonnay with lamb. I will drink anything with lamb.
I love lamb.
Me too.
Lamb lover.
I am a lamb lover.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love
it. Okay.
I'm giving Mike the time sign. 5 minutes. Well, that's a luxury. We don't normally get that at this point. Blair Hardman is saying, get me a bottle of the Kokomo. I love GSM blends. Blends?
Blends.
So that's going to Blair here. What's left. And what else are we talking about here, Robert?
Keller... This is the Keller Estate Roti, which is a Syrah that has been co-fermented with a white wine grape called Viognier. So they made a beautiful wine here. Not exactly a parallel to Cote Roti from the Rhone Valley, but it's really pretty wine, and it's got a lot of fruit, loads of fruit. It's a little young right now, but I think about an hour or two in the decanter would help it a lot.
2013 Sonoma Coast.
I love Cote Roti.
Yeah.
And that's down near the Petaluma Gap. So that's where I'm getting my Syrah, which I blend into my Grenache. And the characteristics that I like in that are just the cool climate characteristics. Dan and I were talking a little bit about that offline. It has, again, a bit of a solidity.
That would be off-air, not offline.
Off-air?
Yeah.
Sorry. I got to get my radio terms down. And clearly that's my handicap.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyhow, it's a cool climate Syrah. It's got some spice characteristics, and the fruits very big that year. But in typical years in the Petaluma Gap, it's kind of like Carneros or the far western part of Russian River Valley, Sonoma Coast, which the label says. And it adds a lot to the Grenache. It's really fantastic.
Dan, talk about Keller Estate. Haven't they been in before?
I don't recall. I think probably they were, but before me.
But well, we need to get them back then.
Yeah, it's a beautiful property. This is an area that rarely has been discussed because it's a cooler region, as Robert was saying. And if you buy fruit from Petaluma Gap, you're going to get something that occasionally can be a little bit challenging because it's just cool. But yeah. This is really the style of wine that they're trying to make. And this wine, again, like I suggested, 2 hours in a decanter because you really need to allow this wine to open up. It was sealed with a screw cap. And
No, that's my wine
that's
you're looking
your wine.
At.
Okay, there you go. Okay,
they have a cork finish.
This got a cork in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It had a cork, and it's, I really like this one. For me, this is duck.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm just saying, because it's me.
A duck and duck goose rat. Liver?
You could totally duck, do that, goose? Yeah. Duck, but, you know, a lovely, nice spice sauce with it. I'm a big fan of Syrah, so.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah.
What about Petite Syrah? We've talked about this before.
My column next week in the Press Democrat is all about Petite Syrah.
And Josh closed that shop years ago.
I did. And the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, it
both
was.
Both the restaurants.
Josh had Syrah, then Petite Syrah, and then Three Squares, and. And now he's
mainly all Jackson's.
All Jackson's Bar and Oven in Rail.
You know, Jackson, that name just implies quality.
Thank you. Not when it's spelled with an X, but your son, which is Jackson with a CK.
He is a CK.
That's quality. All right, what is this?
Next up is my Grenache. So 2016, North Coast again, from Redwood Valley up in Mendocino County. Love Mendocino County wines. A little bit from Petaluma, excuse me. The Syrah comes from the Petaluma Gap.
I like this.
And
this
then a little bit from Sonoma Valley and a little bit from Dry Creek Valley.
We only got a minute and a half.
This is
we're down to 1 minute. So
halfway between Beaujolais and the Rhone.
That's a great
way to put it. I'm with you on that one.
That's true, too, because of its youth.
Yeah.
It's a 2016, so it's a young wine.
So you could lay it down.
Dan could lay it down.
Well, Dan will lay everything down and forever. You go to the Larson Project with a K instead of a C .com. Find out all the stuff he's doing. Longtime Drive Hall of Famer and our good friend, Mr. Larson, Robert Larson. Good to see you, buddy.
Nice to see you as well. Thanks for having me.
In more. And of course, our other Drive Hall of Famer, Josh Silvers, a super chef. Owner and chef at Jackson's Bar and Oven.
Thanks for inviting me for a second day. And, you know, we're actually picking this up in a couple of weeks. We're just working through some inventory.
Oh, the Larson Project stuff.
Yeah. So,
oh, good. All right.
You know.
Dan Berger, what do we got next week? We're going to be at the Flamingo. With all sorts of people.
We also have William Cofield Cheese from England, actually being made, produced right now in Petaluma.